The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. In this wonderful, you made it, right? You made it. Here's hoping that you never have to live through another year like this one, right? Right. Here's hoping that every year is easy compared to the one that you've just lived through. And what a wonderful opportunity now to gather and give thanks at God's altar, not only for the gift of persevering through a very difficult year, but for the grace of cooperating with God in his good work, helping to share the faith with all these young people. Very successful year, I must say. My first year here, but I can tell you, if you judge a product by the result, it's a very good year. Confirmation kids knew their faith. Came time for those interviews, they had the answers at the ready. I was thrilled. First communion kids, first confession kids. You know, I mean, those kids came in one after another, and they knew how to go to confession. It was great. So, you know, it was a great thing on a difficult year. And just imagine what it'll be like on a normal year. Here's hoping for a normal one. Got a tiny little thought for you this evening, and probably one that you don't even need. But on the theory that everybody can use just a little tiny word of encouragement, I offer this little thought for you here this evening. Start you off with a little story. And it's a story about the great 19th century English poet and author, Gerard Manley Hopkins. Hope you've heard of him. He's really extraordinary. He's extraordinary merely on a literary level, just merely on a literary level. He gave inspiration to W.H. Auden and Dylan Thomas and T.S. Eliot, and a real pioneer in his poetry and in his use of the English language, especially in the pioneering years of modern poetry, the 19th century. But what's really extraordinary about Gerard Manley Hopkins is this guy who was a prolific writer, author, spectacular painter, world at his feet. He had a deep conversion experience, and he became a Catholic. From the beginning of the Church of England, now this is in the 19th century, Victorian England, and he had everything going for him, and he threw it all away because he saw the truth of the Catholic faith. And not only did he become a Catholic, but he studied and became a Jesuit priest. One day, someone wrote to him who was struggling in their faith. And they said, you know, Dr. Hopkins, what can we do? They always call you doctor, right, in the English tradition, even if you're a priest or a clergyman, or they always call you by your academic title. What can I do to regain my faith that I've lost? Can you give me some argument that'll help convince me of my faith? And this author, who'd written so many beautiful lines and such inspiring works, he wrote back a letter that was 2 words long. Give alms. That was his answer. What am I supposed to do to get back my faith? Give alms. Because one thing he learned was that the experience of giving and the experience of knowing God is the same experience. You know, God is purely spiritual. Can't be said to be made of anything. But if you could say that God was made of anything, you could say that the stuff of God and the stuff of giving is the same stuff. Of course, God is a Trinity. He's nothing but perfect giving. That's why the experience of giving and the experience of knowing God is the same experience. You actually heard that in your first reading from Sirach, too. Sirach said something that the wisdom of the saints has echoed down through the centuries. The highest act of praise to God is a single act of charity. Now, of course, the highest of all praise to God is what Jesus did on the cross, right? That's the greatest act of charity there ever is, and that's what we enter into when we celebrate the Mass. But that's his doing that we enter into by our own merit. The highest act of praise to God you can give is not prayer. It's a work of charity. St. Teresa of Avila once said that you go to God quicker and safer with a work of charity than you do with any prayer uttered on your own. That's because giving and knowing God is the exact same experience. Now, here's St. Peter in the Gospel. Jesus has just gotten finished talking about how it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? And this is a time in the Old Testament when, well, they thought their riches were a sign of God's favor. You know, Job was cursed when he was poor, and he was blessed when he was rich, and the Psalms use words of, you know, like, God's going to bless me with bullocks and rams and thick harvests of wheat, and it was assumed that, you know, money meant God's blessing. So here's Jesus saying, no. It's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, and blessed are those who give. So Peter turns to Jesus. He says, Lord, we've given up everything and followed you. And I think at some level in Jesus' heart, he's got to be thinking, Peter, come on. What did you really give up? Your fishing nets, you know? Anybody ever been to Capernaum in Israel? It's not Paris, is it? Was Peter's hometown. What exactly did Peter give up? Nothing. But what is it that we really give up when we sacrifice things, when we give? Not very much, and certainly nothing in comparison to what we give, to what we receive, that is to say. That's why Jesus says, whatever you give, you'll get so much more, hundreds of times more. And of course, he's not talking about stuff. He's talking about the greatest possession of all, which is the possession of God himself. But I tell you, there's a funny dynamic. I'll share a little story, parenthetical thought. You might like this. Funny dynamic whereby even when you give up physical things, sometimes God blesses you with even more physical things. I was at this conference, this fundraising conference, because I was trying to build a church in my last assignment, and they figured they better send that guy to a fundraising conference so he learns how to raise money. And this priest gets up, he tells this story of this woman in his parish, who won the lottery, multiple millions of dollars, wins the lottery, right? Comes to the priest, gives the priest $1,000. Priest says, keep it. That spiritual malpractice to win millions of dollars and to give me $1,000, keep it, right? Woman walks away in a huff, writes to bishop. Bishop calls the priest, says, you should have taken that money. Priest stands his ground. A month later, the woman comes back. She says, Father, you're absolutely right. And she gives him a six-figure sum with the stipulation that at least $100,000 of that money has to be spent towards establishing a house for the homeless somewhere in the area. Wouldn't you know it, within a year, that same woman won the lottery again. No joke. Sometimes God even blesses you with more physical things, but that's not our Lord's message here. His message is that you can't outdo God in generosity. Whatever you give, you will always receive more. And the reason why I say I don't think you need to hear that this evening is I'm sure you know from your lived experience this past year in sharing your faith with our young people that you received far, far more than you ever gave. Let's pray now for God's continued perseverance in all of our hearts to live this spirit of the gospel in imitation of the Lord, in perseverance in the faith, and in sharing our knowledge and our love with these young people and with all those we meet. And we'll ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Saint Bede the Venerable, pray for us.